The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion. The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala khatamin nabiyyin. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to another session of our program, The Clear Criterion. We will continue to look at some verses from the Quran and continue with our discussions. We reached a point where there was mention of the Israelites and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed them and reminded them of the favors that He had bestowed upon them. The address for the Jewish community of that time during the prophetic era was a way for them to realize, to recognize, to acknowledge the fact that the best in creation, the final messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, had arrived, and with his arrival it was their duty as people of the book to acknowledge the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, to accept him as the final prophet, the seal of prophethood, and among his most devout followers. Did this happen? Did they fulfill this duty, and did they fulfill their pledge, a pledge which they had carried from generation to generation? We will continue with this theme shortly. Before I mention anything related to the main part of our program, a reminder, the importance of sending blessings in favor of the best in creation, Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam revealed that whosoever sends blessings upon me on Friday, I will intercede for him on the Day of Judgment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. The intercession of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is such a unique blessing for not just this ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the faithful that passed before this ummah, and in a general sense for the entire creation or entire humankind, because on the Day of Judgment, the waiting period for judgment to begin will be so intense that people will start to express the fact that they would rather see themselves being punished, or their decision being made, or the verdict being given, whether it's even if it's a verdict against them, they'd rather that verdict was given than wait in this intensity or face this uncertainty until judgment actually begins at the reckoning. So it will be our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam will be the means for judgment to begin. And in this sense, this refers to his major intercession, which covers the entire creation, in the sense of his action will be a means to for judgment to begin. Continuing with the Quran and the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah that we covered in previous sessions, we now move on to verse 47 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O children of Ya'qub, why children of Yaqub? As we covered previously, or in our previous sessions, the word Israel, it was the equivalent of the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a title of Sayyiduna Yaqub alayhi salam. And hence in many translations, when the term is translated for the Israelites, at times the ulama have preferred children of Yaqub. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the Israelites and he says, O children of Yaqub, remember my favor which I bestowed upon you, and this that I granted you excellence over the world in that era. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the Israelites, the children of Yaqub alayhi salam, excellence over all people in the whole world in their particular era. We will look at this point again shortly, but first and foremost, another theme where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the Israelites of the favors that He bestowed upon them as part of a reminder that these favors that were given to them should be a means for them to reflect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored this nation in the past. Prophets alayhi wasalam have been sent to them in the past. They have the truth regarding the final message or the final prophet, the final religion, the seal of prophethood sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. So again, they are being reminded of this to accept the message of Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. They should become people who observe the Sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, for after his coming and after his proclamation, it is their duty to do so as being descendants of people who were given the book or given scripture in a earlier part of human history. So which favors were the Israelites given? Which blessings did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them? 10 are mentioned by the ulama of tafsir. I will mention the 10 briefly, and then in the verses, as we go through the verses of the Quran, depending on how much we can cover in our session, we will try to cover as much as we can in today's session and in the future sessions. Which blessings were the Israelites given? That they were granted excellence over all the people of the world. In their era, there was no one better as a nation than the children of Yaqub alayhi salam, the Israelites. And this very blessing was mentioned in the verse which was recited, verse 47. The next blessing that is mentioned is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala parted the sea for them. Within water, paths were created for them. How did this happen? We will come to the verse, hopefully in this session, to cover how they were given salvation in this way. A third blessing, they were granted salvation from Pharaoh. Pharaoh was someone who was persecuting them. He was an oppressor. He was a king, an emperor, but he was an oppressor. He oppressed the Israelites, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them salvation. Being granted safety and salvation from an oppressor is no doubt a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too. In terms of scripture, they were given the Torah. This was their holy book revealed to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. A fifth point that is mentioned as a blessing is when some of the Israelites resorted to the worship of a calf, which again we will cover later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave this action of theirs. So as a nation, when many of them resorted to associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was shirk. They worshipped something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This sin of theirs was forgiven. They were given a means to express an expiation or to give an expiation, and in return they would be forgiven. More about this later. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revived or resurrected a group of them after they were given death. So the fact that when death was given, with the dua of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, for them to come back to life, this was also a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and something quite unique. Number 7, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shaded them with clouds, or with a cloud in particular. This is also a blessing when they were roaming or when they were traveling through the deserts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to create ease for them, gave them this blessing too, that they were shaded. More about this again later. Number 8, they were granted the blessings of man and salwa. What do we mean by man and salwa? For now, I will just say that these were foods and means of sustenance given to the Israelites from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sent from the heavens to particularly for this nation as a blessing for them. Number 9, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused 12 springs to gush forth, or water to gush forth in 12 different places for the 12 tribes of the Israelites. Again, this is something which is covered in one of the verses in coming up or in the near future, inshallah, in one of our sessions, we will also cover this point. And the last point that is mentioned by the ulama as a blessing that was given to the Israelites was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them the means to benefit from the vegetation, the plants, what the earth brings forth. This became a means for them to nourish themselves and for them to benefit from these, from the vegetation that came from the earth. This blessing was given to their forefathers, and yet it is mentioned here as a blessing for them. And the reason for this being that a blessing that is given to forefathers or ancestors, it naturally is considered to be a blessing for the descendants as well, for in some shape or form they continue to benefit, or they may continue to benefit from a blessing that was given to an earlier generation. And no doubt this blessing has not ended for the Israelites, and this blessing is now available to humankind in a general sense. It is up to humankind to be responsible in terms of their consumption. We live in a world where there is overconsumption, and this overconsumption, this lack of moderation, is affecting our living standards. It's affecting our lifestyle as a whole. There's a lack of contentment. Where people can be content with less, they are desiring more, and desiring more than what they need. This is a spiritual disease that we find, and sensible people, wise people, people of insight and understanding, they take from this world what they need without creating chaos in this world, without sowing seeds of corruption in this world, without polluting this world. So on a larger scale, humankind is facing the kind of challenge that it has not faced in the past. The level of deforestation, the levels, if we look at marine life, if we look at the species that lived in water for so many years, hundreds of years, disappearing, becoming extinct because of the lack of responsibility, the overconsumption, or the nature of taking from this earth without a sense of responsibility. But we don't want to move away from our point too much. These were the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Israelites, and they are mentioned in verses that follow verse 47, one of them being the fact that the Israelites were given excellence over the people of the world. So is this excellence something which remains the case now? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that they were given excellence over the whole world, alameen. And the answer to this is that this does not apply to them anymore, because this excellence has been transferred to the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam in the famous expression of the Quran, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing the nation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, declaring that this is the best of nations to come forth for the guidance of people. And the Quran actually gives one reason for this too: the fact that this nation has a responsibility to command good and condemn evil. So really, in essence, one of the main reasons why the nation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became the best nation to come forth was this quality of commanding good and condemning evil. So if we are living a life where we turn a blind eye to the evil that we see, whether it's within our families, whether it's within our localities, within our communities, if evil and immorality does not hurt us in any way, then we have lost the essence of the very quality that Allah has given us in terms of making it a means of excellence for us. Yes, the excellence is due to being part of the nation of the best in creation, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. But the Quran, when it explains itself, that is the best commentary. And the Quran explains to us that the reason, or one reason for the excellence of this ummah, is this quality of commanding good and condemning evil. So we should never turn a blind eye and think this is not my problem. You know, as long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I don't really care about what others are doing. No, the believer is in pain when his Muslim brother or sister is in pain on the other side of the world. The bond of faith is stronger than the bond of blood. And I say this without being dismissive of the bond of blood. The bond of blood gives an extra right to the family members, but as an ummah, faith comes first. And if we hear about, we see the suffering of our Muslim brothers and sisters around the world, and it does not affect us in any way, we do not feel unease in our hearts, we do not feel some kind of pain, then we have lost the essence of our identity, and we must reclaim this excellence which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us by adopting the characteristics which made us excellent as an ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We move on to the next verse. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns the people, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمَ لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ عَنْ نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا. And fear the day in which no soul shall make an exchange on behalf of another soul. وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا شَفَاعَةٌ وَلَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْهَا عَدْلٌ وَلَا هُمْ يُنصَرُونَ. And no favorable request shall be accepted from it, and no compensation will be taken from it, and they will not be helped. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminding not just the Israelites, but the people, generally speaking, and especially people who have turned away from faith, that on the day of judgment, there will be no ransom, there will be no payment, there will be no way or means of salvation if one does not accept the truth, if one does not accept the message of truth. Believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to believe in the truth. So here, the Israelites are being addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that on the day of judgment, this day is a day to fear. This day is a day to have concern. This is a day where everyone should be wary that judgment could be so intense, and judgment and a judgment or a verdict could be against us. Our deeds, what is accepted from them and what is rejected from them, is a mystery for us. We have no certificate. We have no guarantee of acceptance. We will rise in the day of judgment and wait. We hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with this hope we live. But we do not mock the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we say that we believe in Allah, we believe in the day of judgment, we believe in the trials of the hereafter, we believe we have to give an account of our lives, and yet we remain heedless in this world. A time of prayer comes, a time of prayer goes, and we have no concern whatsoever. This is not showing concern for the hereafter. This is not showing concern for the day of judgment. If we are concerned about the day of judgment, we would never miss a prayer. If we were concerned about the day of judgment, before the alarm is heard, our eyes would open once or twice in the middle of the night just to check whether or not we have time for Fajr, whether or not Fajr has started. This concern, I need to ensure that I don't miss my Fajr, I'm not late for my Fajr. And that war against the devil every morning to be successful and rise for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to untie those knots of the devil through purification, through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through prayer itself, this is our first success. And if we succeed early in the morning, we attain the barakah, the blessings of the morning, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us glad tidings about. Yes, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam specified that this ummah has been granted blessings in the early hours of the day, in the morning. So if we're complaining about we don't have much barakah in our livelihoods, we're not earning as much as we should, or many losses, consider this. Are we rising early in the morning for the Fajr prayer and praying and then beginning our affairs, planning our affairs, leaving for work? Is this our way? Or are we completely heedless, staying awake until late at night, not waking up for Fajr, Allah forbid, starting our mornings when it's almost mid-morning, an hour or half an hour before lunch, and then we expect blessings? Blessings will come if we follow the instruction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, if we asked one another, if I asked this question to any Muslim, I believe, if I said to him, do you believe that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke the truth and nothing but the truth, they would say, of course we do, astaghfirullah. What kind of question is that? But then when we say to them, or if I say this, that my dear brother, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given glad tidings to this ummah for the morning period. Why don't you rise early in the morning? Why don't you take advantage of those moments in the morning? And then some excuses will start to come into mind and then onto the tongue. So it's not enough to say that we believe in the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to follow that speech. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not sent to be praised only. He is the praised one. He does not need our praise, but we praise him for reward and acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be near him. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to teach us, to teach us about the religion, what we should do and what we shouldn't do. So knowing and believing that the statements and the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are nothing but the truth, for us to be lazy and heedless in matters which seem to be logical. Even people of success in the world today, they would say we rise early in the morning and we start our day and plan our day very early in the morning. Before we even go to work, if we have shift work, we've already done or covered so many activities, planned so many things, answered emails, addressed certain things that were pending, and then we started our working day. So it's time for us to seize, to claim, to attain the barakah from the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. It is there to be taken, to be attained by those who fulfill the instruction or follow the instruction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As far as intercession is concerned, we worry about the Day of Judgment, but we have hope in the intercession of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we try to take the steps required to be successful in the hereafter by not doing anything in terms of practice, in terms of observing the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then expecting that everything will be easy for us in the hereafter. It's very naive to think like that. The example ulama give, it's like a person goes to a doctor but then decides to drink poison. Now, if he drinks poison and then goes to the doctor will say, well, if you had come to me before the poison, or if you had asked me about this substance, I would have warned you about it, but you've drunk the poison already. What am I going to do now? What can I possibly do if you've already taken the poison? If someone throws himself under a bus with this hope that he will have access to the best surgeon available, you know, fix his bones. And he has this thought in his mind that I hope I will have access to someone who'll fix me up. So I'll throw myself under the bus. The whole idea is illogical. The whole idea doesn't make any sense whatsoever. This is the equivalent of someone doing as he wishes, as he pleases in the life of this world, every sin that he can imagine, and then he expects everything to be good for him in the hereafter. What kind of hope is this? This is misplaced hope. Allah save us from this. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has warned us about the Day of Judgment. The Quran here, Allah is warning us about that day. A day when ransoms will not be accepted by people. People will try their best. The disbelievers will try their best to buy themselves out of a situation of torture or a situation of punishment, and it will not be accepted from them. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the people of or the Israelites of another situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ يَسُومُونَكُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ. And remember when we granted you salvation from the people of Pharaoh, who were afflicting you with severe torture. يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ. Slaughtering your sons and sparing the lives of your daughters. وَفِي ذَٰلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِّن رَّبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ. And in this there was a great trial from your Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded the Israelites of another blessing from him, that there was a time when the people of Fir'aun were punishing them. As explicitly stated in the verse, their sons were being slaughtered. Their daughters were being left, but their sons were being slaughtered. Why were their sons being slaughtered? Because Pharaoh believed that a child would be born among the Israelites who would bring down his kingdom. He mentioned a dream to his diviners, who gave this interpretation that a child would be born from the Israelites who would destroy his kingdom. So he gave the order that the children, any male child born among the Israelites, would be killed. And this happened for some time, until there was a concern that if all of them are killed, the Israelites are getting older. Who will serve them and who will help them if this nation, if they have no more sons, who will be of service to them? And then it was decided a year without killing the children who are male, and a year where this will be actioned or executed. More about this in our next session. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to understand the Quran and grant us insight from His divine wisdom, from his divine grace. Ameen bijahin nabil ameen. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion. The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion.